Signal. Hello, my fabulous radio listeners. I can't hear myself in my mouth. Oh, now I can. Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another enticing issue episode of Sex Talk. For those of you who have downloaded the special browser, as we announced last week, tonight's episode will be broadcast in iVision. This is the CBS, CMU...
Special patented...
technology. Exactly. We're in a domed room. There are 360 cameras all around us, and... by using your browser, you can actually explore every nook and cranny of my own anatomy, right, as well as my guests.
Your own digitally enhanced anatomy, am I right?
Well, some of it was actually digitally reduced
to fit within the aspect ratio of the.
Well, some people have slow modems and so
That's
on.
True.
My headphones are not working.
Sure gives download a whole new name, whole new meaning.
Tonight we have a very, very, very special show. Tonight's show is so special, in fact, that I was actually thinking that. Instead of having a show, I would just rub the guests down with cocoa butter and...
So you mean kind of like normal.
Well, normal, except that this time I'd give the police a fake name. But really, tonight we have a very, very special group of people. Tonight's group of people is a talented group of artists, technologists, and internet...
Perverts?
Internet innovators who are who are students, and I actually hesitate to use the word student because you're more like
practitioners.
I was going to say rebels, innovators, outcasts,
mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
Exactly, people from the telepresence art and applications class. This is a new class here at Carnegie Mellon University.
Don't turn your dials yet; it gets really interesting in a minute.
And this class is run by our own Dr. G. Dr. G, welcome. Welcome back to the show. You've never been on the show? Have you been on the show, or have we just met on a pier somewhere?
Down by the docks.
No, we've never actually met. I've actually been on this radio station before, but I've never been on the show before. So thank you. Welcome to be here.
Thank you, Dr. G. Dr. G is joined by his putative students, Harley, Lauren, and Brian. Was I supposed to use your real names?
Sure.
That's fine.
Too late,
yeah.
Networks.
And
archived forever on the internet.
And these students have the project they're working on is called Hapti. And Hapti promises to transcend the boundaries of the
time and space and dimension.
Humano mechanical sexual experience.
You get me?
Oh. Always. Yes.
So why don't you give us a quick one-liner, a quick description of what your project
sure.
is all about
okay.
to get our audience excited.
To picture Hapti, imagine two people holding opposite ends of a rod and pushing and or pulling it.
I can imagine that very well.
Yeah? Okay. Well, now, split the rod in half, stick the internet in the middle, and that's Hapti.
So the deal is you have these rods, these handholds, right? And when one person tugs on it, the other one moves appropriately?
It moves inward.
Sure. Okay.
If you push, the other one moves outward.
Right.
And it can... interact that way.
How much play does this have? Like, does it move half an inch, 2 inches, 6 inches?
I think we have a stroke of 8 inches.
Yeah.
A nice long stroke, yeah.
That's a good one to have. And the whole kind of handle, if we can call it that for the moment, is about how big?
Well, what it is a 2-inch, there's like a sort of 2-inch nub or grip at the end, which will include...
Oh, wow.
What you can do is attach an attachment or like a,
right.
you know, a dildo.
So
or
kind of like a vacuum cleaner, you can put different attachments on it.
Right, you can put different attachments on it. So it has many uses, not just, you know, dildonics, but that's definitely something we thought about quite a bit.
And not just dildonics, but
teledildonics.
Teledildonics. That's the whole point of this, really. Is
a
that
real technical phrase, too. I'm
it is, yeah. And lovers now, separated by distance, will have this new way of interacting very intimately with each other from long distances.
Yeah, it's really great. And, you know, this sort of... The tension between the two people is just that's the best part. That's the beauty of the whole project. I mean, it really has, you know, quite a bit of feel.
The thing that I don't get, the thing that sort of surprised me a little bit is that given the long history of phallocentrism in the arts, why you chose to use a phallic object like a rod rather than a feminine object like a...
warm enfolding vagina.
Exactly.
Brian?
Well, I think the rod's just more extensible to other applications. Like, you could put... some might call it a pocket pussy. I'm not sure if we're supposed to say it in the air. But we'll put a pocket pussy on the end of this thing. And basically,
you could have your vaginal orifice.
Not only that, right? But guys...
Oh, whoa, a surprise guest. Could you introduce yourself, surprise guest?
My name's Adrian Hervez. I'm an art student. I've been with Lauren for 4 years. Anyway, so guys already use technology, right? And they're comfortable with it, and they love it, and they're into new things. But... by using maybe a phallic object, maybe there's a potential for to bring women into the fold, sort of.
Right.
Okay.
If there's a vaginal object, guys are already going to use it just by default because
we're gadget freaks. You're saying.
Right. Exactly. I mean, if you look at any technology.
So you're saying the fact
use,
that this is two big metal penises is actually feminist.
It could be. Right. I mean.
Well, how does the group read this? You guys are the ones making it, so.
I think it also comes from our inspiration wasn't entirely sexual. It also came from the idea. Well, a lot of it.
Everything I do.
Admittedly, a lot of it was, but there was also the idea of a pin board. Like, you know, the desk toy with, like, 1,000 pins in it, and you, like, can, like, put an impression in it.
Yes, that's a fantastic.
It's like a
right. If you put your hands in, like, both sides,
right,
like, it's a really cool feel. And so the inspiration came from that, but this is, like, a simplified version.
Right. We just figured, you know, if we can't make 100 of them or, you know, if 100 of these small pins, we figured why not just make a big one?
Right.
You know, that had immediate applications.
That's a compelling image. I like that.
Right. So, you know, with the attachments, then it just adds so much more to the piece. Yeah.
Yes. So how long have you guys been working on this? How long ago did you come up with the idea?
Well, actually, Brian and I originally came up with the idea over the summer time.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for a while.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we had a lot of different options. You know, we had maybe thought of connecting a vibrator to the internet using a serial port and just sort of having like an on-off or sort of maybe even several levels of vibrations, you know, and you could just sort of press the space bar, press 1 through 7, and have different levels of vibration.
Sexy.
But actually, we found that was like too easy, you know, because we had worked with a heartbeat tracker before that tracked your heartbeat in a virtual world and, you know, made the sound of a heartbeat every time this happened, which is basically like a button press. So,
right.
I mean, not to get all into this geek talk, but we figured that we would want it to be more of a, more of something like of a challenge and something more intimate than that, you know. Because it's just that's just too on and off, you know. There's so many more levels of stimulation, so many more levels of, you know, communication.
So the great thing about the pin board, which is what these guys are really going for, ultimately, is that you can start out by, like, you know, pressing the pin board to your face, and you can have this really great intimate contact with, like, lip to lip, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can move that to other parts of your body. And you can have this whole, like, you know, progression where it really becomes like, sort of like courting and sort of like, you know.
That would be a great stage for us to eventually get to. That's where we really want to head with this. And, you know, also you've got the whole visual element in that also where you have the impression of someone's face is not, you know, you can all of a sudden eliminate your other visual, the other visual media you're using. You know, you can just start, you know, using the pin board as a visual and physical stimulation.
Yeah, I'm liking the pin board idea too because it actually invites the idea of replay. You know, storing all the actions that happened during a internet lovemaking session and then replaying them later, maybe with a new partner taking on one half of it, if you get my drift.
Sure.
And then even feeding it to a complex AI algorithm and replaying different parts of the lovemaking session.
creating
well,
as appropriate.
Also, there's also nothing to stop just, like, the single pin from being stored, like the motions of it.
Well, one of the fascinating parts I find about this is the possibility for completely anonymous and open kind of intercourse. So you could just sort of connect yourself up, sort of open up a socket, so to speak, and let anyone kind of connect up to you. And I don't know, that's sort of a fascinating new level of highly safe but completely anonymous interaction on a very intimate level.
Right. I mean, to the extent that the internet is sexy, right, it's sexy because you can have intimate contact with people you don't know and that don't know you. So this just extends that all the more, unless you have really intimate physical contact with people you've never met.
Absolutely.
So I know this general idea of like teledildonics or kind of internet sex appliances have been talked about before. I recall Vivid Studios, this porn movie studio, adult movie studio, funded somebody, I don't think they were university researchers, but to build this kind of suit, which was basically underwear and or a bra with beeper vibrators in appropriate locations, right? So you could turn on and off the vibration in your partner's suit. But it really gave you basically one bit of low-level control, and that was it. And I don't even know if it ever got on the market.
Was that a web-based project?
The idea was that it would be the idea was you would buy the suit, and then porn actors or actresses or temps or whoever they get to do this stuff could drive it from their website. Right.
That's sort of our original – that was one of our original thoughts. That sort of relates to the vibrator.
Well, there are these there's this device called Tickle Me Panties, which some of your listeners might be familiar with. And basically that used a remote control where you could change the dial of how hard it would vibrate or how fast it would vibrate. And The project with Vivid, I believe, uses that sort of technology but extends it to other parts of the body. But we want to take that to another level where there's actually some penetration involved.
So, yeah, what other all this was a lead-in to ask you guys. So what other projects have been done in this vein?
Well, something that's not so sexual that was done at MIT was something called InTouch, and Brian knows a lot more about that than I do.
Well, InTouch is pretty similar. It uses telehaptic communication, where basically you're feeling what someone else is doing, but instead of a pole or a rod, which you're pushing back and forth, it involves these rollers, which you can roll and feel someone else rolling with you. And that's not quite as sexual as how we've turned it into, where it's a linear rod, which you can use not only for sex applications, but many other applications.
That reminds me of a piece. I can't remember the name, unfortunately, and it was in German anyway. This piece I saw at Ars Electronic a couple of years ago. If you picture a wooden bridge where when people walk on it, it senses the fact that you're walking on it and then actuates planks in the appropriate direction on another virtual bridge in another city. This one was set up in Linz, Austria, and the other one was set up in Budapest, Hungary. The idea would be every board you would step on, that board would pop up at the other end, as if these people on the other end were walking on the opposite side, like in defiance of gravity, of this wooden bridge. It's a similar idea, almost like if you guys kind of have the zero-dimensional pin box, it's just a single rod. This is kind of the one-dimensional pin box with a line of them. It was especially interesting to see, I being in Linz, to see people in Hungary ride their bikes over this thing, because you'd see these two waves ripple down the wooden walkway.
But was there a chance for direct interaction, like with the person at the opposite side?
I don't know how much of a latency there was, but there was a potential there. But I don't know if the latency was a second, 5 seconds, half a second, what. So
the question is, would people find the kind of personal application? Would they go and play footsie with a stranger? Or was it just very anonymous?
I tried, but it's hard to tell if the person on the other end is paying attention to the same clues you are, right? Because you don't have any idea of if somebody's just randomly walking or if they're trying to play footsie with you too. Where clearly this device would be different. Nobody would just start randomly tugging on a metal rod in their bedroom. Whereas this was an actual footbridge in the middle of a city. So
right.
It also sounds that maybe was there just like an up-down sort of for each step, whereas, our piece is many levels.
Yeah, I don't think there was much bandwidth, if you'd call it. I think it was basically up-down.
Right. So that's where we're going for it. We're going for the not up-down, not on and off. We're going for, the actual intimate interaction, the actual sexual interaction, whatever. We just want it totally to be something where you can experience someone else's personality through just this one, point or one, line in space.
So you guys said earlier that this, our professional pre-interview, that this thing was kind of strong, like 10 to 20 pounds.
Yeah, that's the
possible
plan.
So, yeah. But how sensitive is it at the same time? What kind of resolution do you have on it? Can it be? I know you haven't built it yet.
Yeah, we're going for basically as sensitive as human touch can resolve. I mean, there's some limit to how sensitive you can actually detect. And if we can deal with small enough forces and positions, then it should be adequate to go the full range of what humans can feel.
The thing is, too, that, we've got this great tendency, right, to extrapolate on a really minimal input. Mm-hmm. And read into that as much as possible. I mean, if a semicolon and a closed parenthesis can convey some sort of meaning, right, to the majority of internet users, how much meaning could, the actual physical motion of something in your bedroom or in your office, mean, you know?
Right. The emoticons were invented at CMU, just as a little side note for our listeners out there. I'm not making that.
Do they turn you on?
Some of them.
Yeah, there you go. So a new vocabulary here of internet touch, right? Just like the emoticons.
Right.
Will turn you on.
So I'm confused by a couple of things. I mean, I can't decide whether we're talking about this kind of rod as just a way for people to communicate in this kind of new way, or whether it actually is going to be like a sex toy and it's going to be like fashion in the shape of a dildo and so on. And if it is, you're all leaning forward to answer this question. My follow-up question is, if it is, it seems in normal I hesitate to use the word normal because it's normative, but in traditional intercourse, one person owns the penis and the other person is enjoying the penis. Even if two men are having sex, there's,
right.
One person is the clear owner of the respective penis, and the other person is just the guest. But it seems like this rod is actually very entirely symmetrical, as far as I can tell. I pull, you.
Well, it's get pulled. Yeah, but it's like you pull, it gets pulled in at the other side.
Right. Okay. Like
I put a lot of thought into this, and I was thinking that you could have sex, telesex, with another person if, for example, on one end it's being used almost like a strap-on. And the other end is just being received by the person, and it could be male, 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 female, female, right. female, and it wouldn't matter.
True, I suppose with your little vacuum cleaner type attachments, you could strap that baby on.
So Harley, did you have a follow-on?
Well, you also said you weren't sure about the way it was being used. Like the actual what we're actually going to build isn't going to be specifically for anything necessarily. Like it'll probably just be a plain rod, but like one could eventually attach a dildo to it, or like just a hand, like a
shape
of a hand, so that you could pretend you're like pushing or being pushed by somebody else's hand. Like it doesn't necessarily have to be a dildo, but it could be a dildo.
For the purposes of this show,
it's a dildo, but. Like, there's also something to be said for the sensuality of just touch and, like, the feel, the force of somebody else's hand against yours.
Like, I think there's a tendency here to get too focused on the phallus, right? I mean, because the whole point of this, what makes this project so great, is that you're taking this really dry medium, right? The internet.
I don't know if we've ever been too focused. I mean, I think we're appropriately focused.
Hold on a second, guys. So what I'm getting at, though, is we're talking about this medium, the internet, right, and online chat rooms. Where it's usually almost exclusively text, mm-hmm. which is a really dry, impersonal sort of medium. Even if you're talking about sex, if you're talking about really personal things, it's still a dry medium. And so what these guys are doing is they're introducing into that this sense of touch. And so I think while the phallus is, you know, we can talk about that, but still, beyond that, it's just the sense of touch being introduced into this.
Definitely.
And that adds a whole new level to the interaction that happens online. Because if you can really feel something happen in real space.
Definitely. As a woman, I definitely would say that the sort of personal interaction and intimacy between you can experience with our device, you know, in a networked connection or whatever, you know, I think it's definitely much more a turn-on than probably just, you know, using a vibrator or just getting... like, you know, getting nailed or whatever, you know, just some sort of just like back and forth penetration. I mean, I think that definitely just being able to put your hand up and touch someone else that's touching you, you know, and feeling that sort of back and forth give and take, I think that's definitely the most intimate thing because you know that person's there. And you're even if it's just through this one point, you know, in space, like you're mm-hmm. still feeling that touch and you're still understanding the person's there. I think it's definitely way more romantic than just a vibrator or any kind of dildo.
Even more romantic than, what were they, the online panties? What did you call them?
The tickle me panties. Yeah. I'd say it would be much more romantic than that.
Yeah. Again, that's just like it's just a vibrator, you know. So, I mean, we're trying to go for much more than that.
So along those lines, I was sort of wondering whether you saw kind of business or industrial uses for this. For example, the hub here at Carnegie Mellon has an image problem. Do you think that, you know, their relationships with the students might be better if they could have, you know, while they're sending your term bill, you both have a give and take with the hub, as it were?
So when you're paying your tuition bill, you get figuratively as well as literally.
Well, you
screwed.
Could put punching gloves on those things, too. Mm. I mean, there's, like, definitely many options here. So, you know, if you get a little pissed
That's
off,
if you're overdrawn, right?
Yes.
If you owe money to the school.
If you owe money.
Instead of, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, it's like the mouse. Every machine, every public computer could have an extra device. You know,
right.
It could just become a standard kind of accessory.
Wow.
And then in all sorts of interactions, you'd have this, right? What form would that take, though? I'm not sure.
So along similar lines, what do you expect to be the kind of the physical limitations? I mean, is this thing going to be like Terminator or Robot Strong? Could it like punch a hole in my chest if it had to? Or is it going to be as strong as a human being? I mean, even if it's just as strong as a human being, it could damage my delicate tissues.
Well, I think it would be nice if we could get it as strong as a human being. People probably don't realize how much force they actually exert when they're just doing something like shoving someone else. And to get a small motor to generate those kind of forces mm-hmm. actually isn't very trivial. So if we can get a decent amount of forces, it might be possible to actually hurt someone. If they put their face right up to this thing and then you just slammed it,
no idea.
There might be some pain. And you can think of other areas of the body too, which that might work for or not work for. But we're going to try to generate, you know, 10 to 20 pounds of force.
Well, I think that's a very good point, actually. I made this point to the students before that to be a real relationship, it should have the potential for pain as well as pleasure. And so, the element of danger is definitely an element of facing up to any other human being. And we trust people because we trust them not to take advantage of that. So having that capability built in, I think, adds a richness to it, right, over text, which is sort of, in some sense, never going to harm you in a physical way.
I think it's more a question of range than it is of intensity. Because if I know a device is capable of exerting a certain amount of force, and that force can potentially be painful, I'm going to stay a certain distance away from that thing. So if you can exert a broad range of force, then you can have everything from a subtle interaction to a really intense thing.
Sure.
You can go from like a feather touch to, a punch. And it gets back to what Garth was saying about, the potential for pain. And I think it's really important. Because, the whole thing that makes interaction sexy, right, is that you're exposing yourself to another person. And if that's not happening, then there's no real connection.
Well, yeah. Okay, so come on. So indeed, all that is sort of true, but in the real world, we have all kinds of, instinctive immediate reactions when we've accidentally caused someone. When we've accidentally caused someone pain, we can immediately sort of moderate our input and so on. Your Frankenstein monster you've got an error in one of your subroutines, or the thing starts, jamming away at my
tender middles.
Right, tearing the tissue paper thin tissues of my anus like there's no tomorrow. And I'm in the emergency room, and you're like, it's not like you can show up and say, well, gee, that we were just enhancing our interaction paradigm. And you guys are going to be in serious trouble. Are you going to have,
to put it on a more technical basis, is this thing, in a sense, single duplex? That is, if my co-host DJ, we never gave you a name, DJ Frankenfalus, was pushing on one end of your device, and I'm pushing on the other end, do they balance out, or does whoever touch it first kind of win?
No, it's a combination.
It?
Like, if you and he were both pushing on at the same time, it would be whoever's pushing harder, it's going to move their way.
Right. So
like that force is balanced.
In your example, like, as I pushed, this device
like
further.
If there's a limit to how much you can push,
right?
It'll stop.
Right. Similar level, I would have resistance before I tear to your tender tissues.
I mean, we're very interested in dynamic, that's definitely something we're going to go for in the future. But right now, I think we're super interested in the subtlety. I think that's much harder to pull off than, say, the amount of force you're going to, the dynamic, like, say you want to put 1 pound of force on it and then 40 pounds of force on it in the next second. That's great and everything. We're working for that. That's definitely one of our issues. But we really want to work on just being able to experience, somewhere in between, 10 and 12 pounds of force. The subtleties between those, between 10 and 12. That's the stuff that's really going to mean something, I think, being able to really feel that in the intimate force.
How much force can people detect? It's very, very small, I think, right? Like tenths of newtons, hundredths of newtons?
I would tend to think that we're more sensitive rather than less.
That's what I mean, yeah.
So one potential problem I see with this piece is that it's linear, right? It's one single – hold on a second. So it's one single rod moving back and forth. But then you think – so the difference between when a friend slaps you on the back of the chest, right, and the difference between that and when a lover touches you gently on your back. There's like an infinity of difference between those two sensations. And it's not that they're different in what's happening. It's just a difference in force and context. Mm-hmm. And range of force and context is something that can be provided by what these guys are doing and what's already there with internet.
Perhaps we're dwelling on the bandwidth issues too much. How about a different tack? How are you guys going to show this when it's done?
I guess we'll probably show it in an art context. The class is telepresence, art, and applications. So I think we're prepared to show this piece as – I mean, if we were going strictly for, you know, a technological achievement, then I think we would definitely have done, you know, a small pin and started working our way up to having hundreds of them. We would have had tons of funding. But the way it's working right now is that we want to have something to show. We want to have something that people can experience and get excited about so that we can eventually get more funding and get more people into our project wanting to experience more and more pins. And
it's important to get DARPA interested.
Yeah.
Then the fat cash comes in.
Is this for recreation in the field, so to speak?
Exactly, yeah, yeah. It would eliminate the need for pesky weekend leave or something.
Right, so it's definitely going to be shown, in a gallery space to start. You know, but I'd love to just actually, I mean, I hope that we can find the funding to get maybe a few, 10 prototypes out, like 10 experiments out there, you know, 10 original prototypes, and we send them out, and we send them to these people who are avid web users, and we sort of say, okay, see what you can do, and sort of get feedback from them, videotape them, get in, you know, really understand what they're doing and how the project's working out, and really just experiment with them and see where it's going to go.
Maybe we could get John Cam involved in this. This is a webcam guy who's been on the show a bunch of times.
I mean, totally. A webcam can totally be used with this, or it can be used as a game or, you know, virtual reality. Mm-hmm. In any circumstance, it can be used.
Interesting. So do you guys think you'll be able to get it done in this semester?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think as going into this as an art student, I was kind of thinking like, okay, let's just slap some motors together and kind of put this thing together. And now I'm really learning to think like an engineer because we definitely have to, you know, planning is like the most important part of this project. And buying the right stuff is the most important part of this project. And so these motors are expensive and we're really looking into it a lot more than I thought we were going to because, you know, if we can get the right equipment, if we can get the right motors and the right stuff that we need, I mean, the right parts, we've just got it made. So a lot of the stuff is already out there. It's just a matter of being able to put it together in a sensible manner.
Mm-hmm. This is sort of a technical question, but do you have a kind of test bed set up to simulate sort of the randomness, errors, and delay that exist in the real internet?
I think Harley's got this one covered. No. Well, they were talking about having we were originally going to, instead of building two prototypes or two particular, two happies, we're going to just build one to start. And then we have a simulation. We're going to have a simulation software program thing that's going to simulate what the other person's force is going to be at that time. And then this way we'll be able to figure out how happy is responding to that particular force. So why build two of something that sucks if you can just build one of something and figure out that, you know, it sucks and just build another one? You know, we don't want to waste our time. We definitely want to get to it. So that's an issue for us.
So how do you know that there's latency, right? I mean, you only know that if you've got some other input about who you're interacting with.
Not necessarily, right? If you have some kind of rhythm going on, right, where I push, he or she pushes,
right,
then suddenly there's a half-second delay in that, it's obvious.
No, but as long as the latency is constant,
which never is, right?
Is it?
No,
well,
right.
I don't really know. I mean,
well, most of the latency is probably going to be through the network, and we'll probably be using UDP protocol.
What does that mean, Brian?
No, we're not getting into acronyms here, but yeah. I'm sorry, Dr. G.
I think the rule tonight was no acronyms.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So basically,
you have to reveal embarrassing fact from your own sexual history to make up for that.
Yeah.
Now. Or take off your shirt.
No, because it would involve.
No, I thought, did you see that? He reached for his shirt. My powers are getting better.
No, it's for my pants.
The array will be complete.
Just to address, it's actually two questions. You're not with this group? You're their
evil? No,
I'm
just good friends of these guys.
Yeah, it's Adrian.
Well, so Adrian's also a student in the class working on a different project. So he's been party to all the discussions that have led up to this device. So he's quite familiar with what's going on.
Yeah. So I was just going to address, I think your latency comment is problematic. You're a little young for this, but anybody that's had a phone conversation over a satellite, for example, even with constant latency, it's patently obvious that there's a problem with interaction.
So this sort of gets to the central, like, one of the big questions, right? So, like, if all I know about somebody is what they're sending me and there's a latency involved in that,
mm-hmm.
then to me, as long as the latency is more or less constant, it still seems real time.
Well, there's some technical questions, right? Which we should probably get to on this particular show about.
Right, I think
there's a...
Like, there's different. I can sort of imagine playing different kinds of games. Like, I sort of move a little move, and then it sort of plays on your body, and then you move a little move, and it plays on my body. I can think of ways to get around the technical limitations so that we can have truly worldwide telesex. I mean, that's really the goal here, right, is to have no boundaries. So
is there really that much of a problem with there being a little bit of latency? Because okay, so what does latency mean, right? You're waiting for a response. And isn't that part of, like, the highest resolution, real-time, real-world
kind of interaction? Yeah, but when you touch your lover and your finger moves across your lover's body.
You don't want her
the little tremors,
to wait 2.5 seconds to feel it after you do.
And actually, you respond intimately. The little tremors of force pushing back on your finger govern exactly how you push at every given instant.
Okay, so what I'm getting at, though, is that there's a potential for there to be a different kind of tension created by the waiting for the response. And there could be sort of like a new form of eroticism formed through this.
It's not a bug. It's a feature.
Exactly. Because, I mean, eroticism is all about tension, right? Mm. And so this could be a new form of tension where you touch your lover teledildonically and you wait for their response. Now you could see that as just a problem with the technology. You could see that as
an opportunity for creativity.
Exactly.
Right? That's what your point is.
Well, I see what Adrian's saying. Actually, we've thought about this quite a bit. And even today, I was talking to Brian about it. And I was just thinking that, you know, if we did have a latency problem, I mean, we were thinking maybe about even a controlled latency. Like, you know, would you know the difference if we just delayed everyone's actions by, you know, a couple of seconds just to get them to be that accurate, you know, and just having something that sort of stored up your interaction until it was ready to process it. So, you know, that you'd always have those nuances and not nuances like, you know, the glitches or bugs in the system, but more like, you know, the nuances of touch. So we definitely want to keep that. I think that's the most important thing. I understand what Adrian's saying, though. I think it's an interesting point.
So Brian cleverly wheeled out of the requirement to tell us sexual story.
Go for it, Brian.
No, because it'll probably involve you.
Okay. That's harsh.
To quote DJ Frank and Penis here, you have to turn the detail knob on that all the way up.
No way.
Yes way. We're in charge.
Did you ever see people beat the crap out of each other on the air? No?
Well, so the show is spinning out of control here just a little bit. Actually, there's some story that you're trying to tell that Lauren doesn't want you to tell. Is that the idea?
That's why you should have been sitting over here.
See, I think if we're going to get really concrete about this, we should just start talking about our phone sex experiences. Because, I mean, that's the closest thing to what we're talking about, really.
Interesting. Right? I jump right into that, Adrian.
Phone sex experiences?
Yeah.
Oops.
Please don't go there.
Tell us, Adrian.
Adrian, tell us. I want to know so bad.
Make my day.
Yeah.
Take off an item of clothing and tell us a phone sex experience. By the way, while you're pondering that, I want to tell our listeners that if you're anxious to discuss this or any other topic with our guests
or network latency issues,
callers call.
DP, the user datagram program.
We told you to.
It's only like 11:30.
Well, allow us to give the phone number.
621-9728 is the phone number. That's 621-WRCT. People who are using CBS iVision, tune your camera to camera 14, and you'll see Lauren bearing her breasts right now.
Where's the camera?
Wow.
Sorry, Dr. G.
I don't think you should be apologizing.
Sometimes the show surprises even me. Anyway, do call in if you have a question. 621-9728.
So please, give us a call if you have any questions, comments, or concerns. Anyway, to get back to the phone sex question, Brian. Spotlight's on you.
So that's
your partner's already confessed.
Right. I mean, that's the template. That's the historical reference for this. What are you guys trying to do? Right. I mean, that's the.
Well, definitely that sort of intimacy and just being able to try to reenact. Like, but I think there's so much more to touch than, you know, way more than voice. You know, voice is great and everything. But you can always use voice with our piece. You know.
Yeah.
I call it a piece because I'm an artist. They call it a project. You know, but. You can always use voice with our piece, too, or with, video, webcam. I mean, that would be definitely awesome. But phone sex, I mean, I've definitely worked with other groups like the Center for MetaHuman Exploration. I was on the show once before, and I was Eve in the Garden of Eden, and that's a whole other story, and I was naked in front of tens of thousands of people in some robotic art piece. The point is that so much of their piece and so much of the stuff that I've been doing lately involves like some sort of root in phone sex. And the reason is that, you know, people just really want sex, and, you know, sex sells, and that sort of is... You know, somehow, if something is good, if something is sexy or good, and people are interested in using it for whatever reason, even if it involves sex, then it could be, you know, people. I don't know. People want it, so that makes it a great piece or a great project.
Well, Lauren, the act of bearing your breasts has invited a caller to call in, so I'd like to. I don't know if you can hear the caller. Is the caller on the air?
Yes, I am.
Oh well, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much. Hi, Lauren. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Ma, what's up?
Hey.
I was just wondering, if Lauren gets too wet, will I get electrocuted?
That's always a danger on this show.
I work at a cheesesteak joint with Molly, and she's so dead.
Yeah, I just shook my head right now.
Somebody's getting hot fat spilled on them tomorrow, huh? Well, that is, in some sense, an interesting issue, right? Like they're...
Yeah, it was like, what's up with the electrical apparatus?
Right. You wouldn't want it to short out at the moment of passion.
Oh, you're so right.
That's
I don't know.
Easy problem to solve, right?
Yeah, that's an easy problem to solve, I think. I mean,
rubber.
Exactly.
Rubber.
Lots of rubber.
Put everything in rubber.
That's
I'm
a great question.
Put you in rubber if you don't start speaking to the microphone. So, did the caller? Did you have any other questions?
No, that was it.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in. I mean, I think you guys are actually
Thanks, Molly.
Thanks, Molly.
Lauren.
Thanks, Molly.
Bye.
Awesome. See you later.
Again, I think you're kind of dismissing the safety issues a little bit. I mean, if I'm having phone sex with Jared – or teledildonic sex with Jared Cohen, president of the university, and, you know
– Have you done that before?
Something goes wrong. Well, let's just say
– they don't call him Growing Cohen for nothing.
Thank you.
Well, you can always just withdraw, right? I mean, you can always put some distance between you and the device.
Well, not when, like, 10,000 volts of, like, pure, you know –
Well, you have a unless you have a metallic dildo attached, but that's not likely to happen.
There's no metallic. I'm just hoping for the bronze.
Well, I mean the piece coming out of the device might be metal, but like you're not gonna. Well, I guess you could use that alone, but we won't recommend that.
No.
It will come with a warning. You know, like don't use in water, like a hair dryer. No?
Almost like a hair dryer, only it's got a big dildo on it.
Exactly.
I mean, people know not to bathe with dildos, right? I mean,
wait, actually, I have a dildo that actually is a bath buddy. So
water safe?
Yeah, it's water
safe. Is it battery operated, though, or is it just
though. I hate dildos.
So I have to get a rabbit pearl. No, I'm serious. It's a Japanese dildo. They make the best vibrators, you know.
Really?
A rabbit pearl?
Right. So it's actually illegal to sell sex toys in Japan. And so all the sex toys have to, with the tissue-thin veil of lies, be something else. And this is a toy. So on the head of it, the tip of it kind of looks like a stylized person. And then there's a little chamber with beads in it, which rattle around as the thing moves. And those are the pearls.
Oh,
so it's the rabbit pearl. It's a animated doll, not a vibrator. Absolutely not a vibrator.
Yeah.
Well, but they're supposed to be the best.
That goes on here in the United States, too, because I know the magic wand's like supposed to be some giant like back massager.
Right, but, yeah. But sold in Finger Hut catalogs for the last decade as a back massager.
Yeah.
The Toshiba magic wand.
Definitely.
So actually, I want to talk a little about, but you seem bored with it, and like you don't want to talk about it. But I wanted to bring up the Project Paradise a little bit because I know they're
sure. I
mean, our listeners are loyal, but they may not remember the last show.
Well, Project Paradise. I mean, it was a really great piece for me to be part of, but I find that it's really hard to visualize. You know, it's sort of one of those pieces that, like, if you describe it, it's sort of like, you know, it seems to take an hour.
Let me try to paint
it's
a vivid.
Really easy to describe, though. Maybe it's just
Adrian,
we're
go ahead.
Involved.
Sure.
So okay. Imagine there's a tank where you can't see anything that's going on inside of there.
Right.
And so inside of this tank are a woman and a man, both wearing a robotic arm. So your experience going into this piece is you go into a phone booth-like apparatus.
Displayed next to the tank that you cannot see into.
Right. And you just see this tank with, you know, who knows what is going on inside there. So you go into this phone booth-like apparatus, and you punch touchtone keys, right?
Yeah, you pick
to
up
operate
telephone.
Either the man or the woman's arm. Now the trick is where it gets interesting is that both of the people inside the tank are naked.
Right, and you're seeing
and you
them
can compel them
camera.
To touch each other. So you get this really interesting experience where
and it's
where
called Project Paradise because the inside of the tank is decorated with fake plants.
Right. And like, that's important. And this guy's
so
Adam.
Let me just add that I used this piece three times, and each of the time I was unfortunate enough to control Lauren. So all I ever got to see was Lauren's arm and a naked guy.
Was that a new experience for you? Did you find that titillating at all?
It was a new experience for me, but I didn't find it particularly titillating.
Right.
I mean, Lauren's arm is sexy, but you know, it only goes so
yeah.
far.
There's so limited. I mean, I probably made this joke last time, but I was just wondering if like Star 69 has an entirely new meaning inside this project. Right?
It was amusing. I saw
that
it.
That sounds like it would be right and down, so probably not. Yeah. Actually, maybe. I don't know. That sounds pretty.
One of the times I saw this project presented was down at SIGGRAPH, which is this gigantic computer graphics conference. And this was in Orlando at the time.
That was cool.
Yeah, it was huge, and it was extremely popular. But the funny thing is, I was listening to people talk about it afterwards, like on the shuttle buses and so forth. Mm-hmm. And most people thought it was very clever video editing.
Yeah,
like, this was all pre-recorded.
That was the most impressive part about our piece is that we found we totally got off on that. We were like, wow.
Part of it was because the tank was slightly out of view. And
right.
It just looks like a huge metal tank, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't look, you know, it doesn't have pictures of you guys on the outside. It doesn't have any labeling. It just looks like a supercomputer or something.
Sure.
And I thought that that said a lot for the slickness and of the piece that people were kind of unsure if it was real or not.
Yeah, people didn't believe it. It was kind of interesting because they were separated. I mean, they went into those phone booths, as Adrian explained them, described them, but they weren't really phone booths. They almost looked like porn booths, almost like a peep show booths or something. And what you did is you went inside these booths and the phone was ringing. You pick it up and they said, "Welcome to Project Paradise. Please press the buttons on the touchstone telephone in order to touch Eve or Adam, whichever booth you were in," you know, because one controlled my arm, one controlled his arm. And what you did is you operated our arms to touch each other, you know, looking through a video monitor. So it was really like an intimate experience. And we did lots of training for that piece. I mean, I was constantly like – we were constantly taping our sessions, practice sessions, and reviewing the video footage and seeing like, you know, Terry less tongue, Lauren, winking or whatever.
What the listeners might not realize is that – so, I mean, the control was really – you know, binary, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there was like, you press button X to make the arm go down.
Right.
But both Lauren and the guy that was involved were trained to respond in a natural way.
Right.
Well, that was a safety issue, again, like we've been talking about, because to have a robotic exoskeleton actually strong enough to move your arm is physically dangerous.
Right. Well, you know, actually they did have quite a bit of range with our arms. Like, it was a normal human range, but they were able to move our arms however they really wanted to. And in fact, some of the sessions were being sort of mediated, not mediated in any way, but just sort of observed by this one guy outside who was sort of in a control booth outside that didn't actually control us, but if there was a problem and we were getting pinched or squeezed and people were like hurting us, then, you know, they'd get shut down.
Did you get much of that?
Yeah, we had some people really try to abuse us, you know. But what I think is really great about this piece is I can really relate to Happy. The piece that I'm working on now with Harley and Brian is just that definitely when people have control, you know, they really – people love the control. Mm-hmm. I mean, on and off, space bar, whatever, turning a vibrator on and off, that is so lame, you know. Like having the control of being able to, like, experience the subtleties, being able to touch someone's hair, being able to and the best part of the piece, of course, of Project Paradise is when we were slapping hands and interact with somebody on a whole new level. I mean, that was the best part. And with Hafti, we have so many levels of communication because you could touch someone softly, you can touch them hard. You're given that much personality in the way you touch somebody.
Well, this brings up an interesting point. So one of the reasons why people were trying to hurt you and Adam were not because they hated you, but because it was anonymous. They were in a booth. You couldn't see them.
Absolutely.
They could watch you.
That's definitely an issue with us, with Hafti.
And right, with Hafti, you might get the same thing. If you do achieve, if I may use the phrase, market penetration, and get these things, say, thousands of them made all over the country, right?
Wow.
And you're really looking for anonymous chat room sex, then there's entirely the possibility of people just, well, it's anonymous, I can batter the crap out of this guy with my hands.
I mean, imagine being able to build up someone's trust and then all of a sudden just, like, totally, like, hurting them. You
right.
know?
This gets back to sort of what Garth was saying. I mean, in any...
Dr. G.
Dr. G. Sorry. Apologies all around. But, I mean... In any real human interaction, there's always the potential for harm to come out of it.
Right. That's beautiful.
Right. I mean, and
I could disagree. What about letters? Like, you know, I've read some extremely powerfully emotional letters in my time. There's no chance of physical harm from that other than paper cuts.
Okay, so take out the notion of physical harm. I mean, just by the fact that you admit that they're intensely powerful,
right?
Then there is the potential for emotional harm.
Sure, I mean, right? Someone could write some letter to you telling you that you suck, and you know that your radio show is lame, and that you're too much of a geek. You know,
been there.
I mean, it gets back to what makes this project sexy is that there is the potential for uncomfortableness, which always exists in real encounters, and is too lacking in most online experiences.
Definitely.
You're pontificating, I can tell.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a nice way of saying I'm not buying bullshit, but...
not buying what?
Oh, you know, I mean, if I build, you know, it's obviously clearly a question of degree, and I could build a device that was a loaded gun, and it could aim it at my partner's head, and all you have to do is press the space key, and then it would kill them, right? You know, that would certainly be an intriguing human interaction to you kind of art freaks, but you know, no honest American citizen would go for that.
Would go for what? A gun?
See, I think this comes back to would a give question you the of range, right? I mean, if it's binary, right? If it's like you press the space bar.
What does that mean?
On or off.
Oh, right.
If it comes back to... If it's a question of, you know, I press the space bar to kill somebody, yeah, then it's not interesting. But if I can press
the space bar... I think DARPA would disagree.
...in different ways to either hurt someone or please someone, and there's a whole range defined, then it becomes this really interesting interaction.
Well, you know, indeed. So, you know, what you art kids call interesting, we hardworking honest Americans call dangerous and irresponsible.
You think our piece is dangerous and irresponsible?
Well, no. Your piece, as it stands, is probably not dangerous or irresponsible. But your wacky devil may care attitude. So the next piece that you build is going to hurt somebody, and you're all going to be in jail. And don't say I didn't warn you. That's all
I'm saying. Could poke someone's eye out with this one.
There you go. Perforate their internal organs. Dr. G, did you ever? Oh, I thought you were raising your hand.
He's a polite man, Dr. G.
I had a question. I forgot what it was. Jeez. Say something.
So, Harley, you've been awful quiet.
I just said something.
Okay.
Sorry to put you on the spot like that. So, I think I remember what the question was, and it was partially, you know, you're going to build this thing. It's going to work. What kinds of sort of user studies do you plan to make? What's your kind of measure of success? What's your evaluation process? What do you plan to learn from that? And mm-hmm. you actually don't know entirely what you're going to learn from it. And what's the next thing you're going to build?
If people can come after using this device, then we have succeeded.
You mean that at all? If you haven't
done it. Those are the soundbites we're looking for.
I think definitely accessibility. We want it to be cheap. We want to be able to make everything so that people can buy it as if they'd mm-hmm. buy, like, another mouse.
Right,
I mean, we don't want it to be expensive. So we want people to be able to experience it. And that's so important, though. I mean, like... For everyone to be able to try it, that would be the best thing possible. That's success, you know. What difference does interaction mean if there's only 10 users out there?
So it's good that you're planning on making it cheap. But I'm talking about in your test bed. What are the kinds of tests that you're going to run? What are you going to ask people to try? Are you going to monitor them? Are you going to do studies? Are you going to watch them sort of covertly?
We're just test it out at the art show and hope no one puts an eye out.
No, I mean, I think we'll probably be putting it in more places than just an art show, but I think that's the safest place for us because everyone's just going to be like, oh, cool, it moves, you know. But, like, you know, for what we're doing, I think success would be measured by how much emotion people will get from the project. So if you can really sense someone's personality through it, which I was able to do in Project Paradise, feeling other people touch me, I could definitely – some people were, like, jerky when they were moving the hand. Some people are smooth, some people are romantic, some people... I could tell if it was a female or a male, you know, operating the other arm. I mean, if you can feel that stuff. I mean, well, women would go, would go to touch my hair and try to grab a flower out of the tank and put it in my hair. Yeah, and guys would just go straight... Okay, sorry.
So you'll have to repeat yourself since that whole 7 seconds gets killed. The guys would go straight for the hooters.
For boobs.
So you'll have to repeat yourself since that whole 7 seconds gets killed. The guys would go straight for the hooters.
Guys would go definitely for boobs.
There's a latency here of 7 seconds?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Great.
We have a 7 second delay. Mandated by the FCC.
Oh, great.
So did you verify that? You actually were able to predict with uncanny accuracy?
Yeah, you were able. After a while, I was definitely able to figure that out. But with being able to touch back and forth, I mean, I'm curious. This is like it's sort of an experiment for me. Like, I want to see how much variation can be you know, can be communicated with just Absolutely. This back and forth motion, you know, based on the level of force. So I hope it's just as good as Project Paradise, if not better.
If you guys could, without much of a technical increase in difficulty, would you guys like to add more degrees of freedom to this, or are you happy with a kind of linear motion for whatever philosophical artistic reasons? That is, would you like to be able to have it wiggle in the X and Y directions as well, or?
Well, I think the next step would be our pinboard idea, where we increase it to, instead of just one pin, we have multiple pins, and we can get higher resolution of touch. I think that's our next goal, but we still have this one to accomplish, so.
Given, you know, $50 million and a suite of willing
grad students,
I was thinking undergrads, members of the swim team.
Sleek and oiled wrestlers.
No concerns about liability. Would you? What would you build? The suit of 1,000 penises? My personal fantasy.
I warned everybody about you bringing that up today. I knew that you'd bring up something about a suit of 1,000 penises. But
well, and why not? It's a damn fine idea.
I mean, do they move back and forth or...
You're the artist. I mean, you're the creators here, right? I mean, I would assume that they would be sort of like I would be like Octopus Man.
So I've
like.
Had two conflicting ideas of the suit of 1,000 penises. One we'll call the Octopus Man, where you're wearing a suit which has 1,000 penises on it, somehow plugged into your spinal cord. And the other is more like a big hamster ball lined with penises on the inside, and you roll around on the inside as this thing kind of rolls around on the floor.
I just like to interject. If they're penises, then... You know, whatever, but they're not lips, they're not hands, they're not shoulders.
This is all about his selfish needs, remember.
I mean, because what these
his
guys
needs,
talk about is
his
suit
of penises.
This board that can simulate any touch. And wouldn't that be incredible? To go the whole gamut, run the whole gamut of lips to lips, hands to shoulders, et cetera, et cetera.
Sensuality just as much as sexuality.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, am I offered a choice here?
Sexuality is easy, central.
It's really hard.
You're saying that the suit of 1,000 penises isn't sensual? Ha.
If it's just penises, no.
No, I totally agree. I don't think it's very sensual at all.
You're being heteronormative, I think.
Well, is the point of the 1,000 penises to increase your sensitivity 1,000-fold or to offer to 1,000 partners at once? Because penises are bidirectional here, so...
Right. Right, well, it's true. Actually, it's actually a matter of both giving and taking. I mean, some of the penises could be engaged in, you know, powerful thrusting, and the others might be, indeed, caressing the partner sort of in a prehensile fashion, right? And still others might be sort of, you know, directing air traffic or doing a sort of, you know, like
solving a traveling salesman
problem. Moving like cilia, you know, or bouncing a little ball across my body or so on. So, you know, it's possible.
If we could make you a suit that you would just sort of wear like a wetsuit, like for swimming, which was covered on the inside with little cilia, would you wear that? Would that be a...
Well, if it's covered on the inside, I'd never take it off.
I see. Well,
nudge him in 20 years.
It becomes a real question of who has access to that suit. I'd be more than willing to wear it if people I thought would be, you know, friendly, I guess.
I don't think anybody would be friendly to anyone wearing a suit with 1,000 penises. That's just me. I don't know.
Wow. Well, my producers are signaling we've got about a minute left, and so...
I guess we're getting to the good stuff, too.
So, you know, you guys don't... I'll have to wait till my next guests and see if they're willing to build me the suit of 1,000 penises.
Why don't we have more colors?
I know. I can't believe it.
We've been enthralling. We've been so fascinating that they haven't wanted to leave even for a moment to go to their phone.
We'll just have to yell at them later.
And we know anyone who would have called.
We know people who are supposed to call.
You know everybody's up right now. Right. It's only like 12:30.
So in the last 30 seconds, let's just ask you one final question, which is, what is this, March? I mean, how far along are you? Do you have any preliminary results on this thing? Is it working? Are you got little motors? Anything happening?
We're in the design stage.
Okay.
Yeah, we built a prototype over the summer that... Okay. Is nothing like what we're building now. So, you know, we have a lot more to go.
As the job of every good prototype is, yeah.
Well, the time is tragically, we are tragically out of time.
Well,
and the phone's ringing, too.
Thank
you all for joining the show. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Please tune in next week, Tuesday 11. You have a website?
Not yet. We're working on it.
You should.
And just www.hapd.com. You should register that. Thank you all for listening, and good night.